49ers have a new quarterbacks coach, and to much surprise around the entire football world, it is no longer ESPN Monday Night Football analyst Brian Griese. It is 49ers quarterbacks coach Brian Griese. And let's start wrapping up the 2022 combine. Offensive linemen, defensive linemen, running backs, and linebackers coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker. With you here at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker. Tons of takeaways from the NFL scouting combine. We'll talk about the big ones, those offensive linemen, defensive linemen, some running backs, linebackers. Well, I don't know how involved the 49ers are going to be with some of those positions, but our favorites, the ones that stood out to Croc and I during the combine. We'll talk defensive backs on tomorrow's episode and take some of your questions as well. So hit us on Twitter at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker. Brian Griese, though. Another shocking name. I thought, see, this is funny, Crocker. We talked about this earlier this offseason. The 49ers have taken a while to fill all these vacancies in their assistant, especially the offensive assistant coach jobs. And I said to you something, you know, just kind of laughing about Kyle Shanahan and how he always brings in his boys and his guys that he's coached with in the past. And I thought, man, I think he's running out of people that he's coached with, because they've all moved on, been hired with other teams. That Shanahan tree is growing, right? And I did not think about the name Brian Griese at all. It's a surprising one. And he has his ties to the Shanahan family. Both Mike Shanahan, who drafted and coached him with the Denver Broncos, then again in Tampa, where Kyle Shanahan was on that Buccaneers coaching staff. And this was somewhat surprising news over the weekend, or actually Friday, when this news broke from Adam Schefter. The Brian Griese is the new quarterbacks coach for the 49ers. How'd you take this one?
You know, I think like everyone else, I was really surprised by that. And I'm like, Brian Griese, like from ESPN. And then, I mean, obviously, you know, I know Brian Griese had his stint in the NFL, pretty good stint, played a while, you know, after, you know, obviously the son of a Hall of Famer. So you hear those type of things. But my initial reaction was, this guy, he hasn't been around the game. Like in the sense of coaching or just these current type quarterbacks that are coming out, he's going to have this outdated old school mentality on how the quarterback position should be played. And the more I dove into it though, the more I actually liked it. So, you know, you start looking at things and it's like, well, okay, he hasn't been coaching or anything like that, but all right, since 2009, yes, he's been working for ESPN, but he's been covering college football. So he's been kind of on the front line of seeing the change in guard of these different type of quarterbacks coming out, the more dynamic quarterbacks. And then there was a soundbite of him and his thoughts on Lamar Jackson and the way he viewed Jackson and his skill set and the challenges it can pose for defenses. And that was another thing where I'm like, okay, I like where his mind is headed. And then when you look at the experience that he's had with the Shanahans, with both Mike and Kyle, playing for both of those guys, a lot of people think that a quarterback coach or any position coaching, we've had these discussions, is, oh, they got to develop guys. It's like, okay, well, what does that mean? And I think most people think, oh, they're going to change up. He's going to change up his throwing motion. Oh, he's going to get the feet. Like, no, that's the trainer in the offseason's job. When it comes to a quarterback coach, his job is to get the quarterback ready from a mental preparation standpoint. And when you look at Griese, a guy who played for both Shanahans, understands exactly what they're like. And we know how Shanahans, how they can be. Really both guys. We've heard stories now. So understanding one, like what they're like and what that feels like as a player. And then being in the system with these guys and understanding how they coach and how they see the field. All right. And now being able to take all of that and put that into Trey Lance in a way for Trey Lance to, you know, understand it to the highest level. That's what you would hope. From that standpoint, I feel like Brian Griese is a good person for this job because, one, again, he's for the current quarterbacks and how they are, and then understands these guys from a mental standpoint. Now, give that information to Trey Lance and help develop him because Kyle Shanahan, he doesn't view Trey Lance as just this super dual threat. He views him as someone that can play from the pocket. How do you get him to take that next step from the pocket? Bring somebody in that truly understands it. So from that standpoint, I like to hire.
Interesting. And he's also played the role of the guy who replaced the guy. And, you know, John Elway is legendary. He had a much better career than Jimmy Garoppolo. But Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, went to the NFC Championship game, well-liked in the locker room. He went to a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And Brian Griese had the job of following a legend, which is not easy. So he knows what it was like to be the young guy who was drafted, then had to follow a longtime starter with the team. And he ended up making the Pro Bowl in his third year. In 98, he was drafted, didn't play behind Elway. Then in 1999, he was the starter. In year two, year three, year 2000, Brian Griese was a Pro Bowler. And in 10 starts, had the Broncos going in the right direction at 7-3. Then he sort of tailed off his career, ended up plateauing a little bit, and he was never a high-level quarterback, but he's a pretty good quarterback, ended up being a backup for a while, and had a really nice career. But I think you nailed part of it, and if Brian Griese would have become a quarterback's coach in 2009 after he retired, his final season in Tampa was 2008. If in 2009 Brian Griese would have become a quarterback's coach somewhere and had been coaching all this time, I don't think anybody would have batted an eye at it. It was just weird that he went this broadcasting route, and then all of a sudden, this far 10 years in plus years into his broadcasting career, all of a sudden leaves the booth just like John Lynch did and joins Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. It was just a surprising hire more than anything, and I don't know how important a quarterback's coach is for developing a young quarterback, but knowing what goes into a position, knowing he doesn't really know the ins and outs of Kyle's offense as much, but he knows the Shanahan scheme. He knows the system. He knows what system Kyle Shanahan came from and learned. He knows the terminology, and he just knows schemes. He knows football, right? He would be able to know, like, be able to tell a young quarterback, this is the depth you want on this. This is what we're looking at, man. This is what we're looking at in zone. This is where the receiver is going to sit here. This is what's happening in this coverage. And so he knows all of those things. And so from that standpoint, knowing ball, I don't think is a problem. It was more just a shock that he went from broadcasting to quarterbacks coach, I think was the big surprise here. I mean, as far as, as far as his knowledge of the game and his experience playing in the NFL, I have no problems with Brian Griese's resume there. He just hasn't coached before. So I don't know how good of a coach is he? I don't know. He's pretty good explaining things on the air, though.
Here's the thing that I think most people, they're probably not looking at it from this standpoint, but you have some guys that jump into coaching right away. Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur, these guys that jump into Kyle Shanahan, they jump into coaching at a very young age, right? And then they get the coaching experience that way.
Because they have no other option. They don't get it.
But how much do you take into consideration someone that was playing for a lot of times and the information that they gathered, the knowledge that they gathered from that standpoint, right? Being able to play 11 years in the NFL, you know, how much experience does that give you? Now, obviously, I think you'd say, well, he still has to learn to coach. And that's the part, like, I don't know. But I will say this. Kyle Shanahan, and I said this throughout this process, I trust him with whoever he picks at coaches because so far he's done a terrific job of being able to judge or project the trajectory of coaches, whether it was McVay and LaFleur and all those guys early on when nobody knew who they were, or a guy like Brian Griese where he picked him out of a booth and said, you know what, this guy is going to be able to get the job done. So I'm definitely giving him more of the benefit of the doubt because of his track record. But again, I look at it and look at me, right? Everybody says, Croc, you should be coaching DB somewhere. Croc, can you be 49ers DB coach? And well, you know, on paper, if the 49ers are to bring me in tomorrow, well, Eric Crocker hasn't coached at this high level, coached high school football a couple of years, and he hasn't played since 2015. What experience does he have? But most people would say, nah, like Croc would be a solid DB coach. And the reason why is because, like, I'm not removed from the game. And I think Brian Griese, same thing. Although he hasn't played in a while and he has all that experience playing and that information he gathered, he has not been removed from the game. He's been around the college football game for the past 11 years.
Probably the big question I would have with a Brian Griese, does he have the love of the grind and the time it takes? Because broadcasting, not only is it pretty well paid in a lot of cases, it's also a lot easier on your family and a lot easier on time constraints. And I know you're watching tape of teams and a lot of teams, which I'm sure he'd done a lot of and a lot of studying, but you don't have to crunch the tape like you have to in an NFL, you know, for an NFL coaching staff. So does he have that love and desire? Because you don't want Trey Lance to have a revolving door of offensive coaches around him. You want someone who's going to stick for a while. So does he have the passion for coaching? And he's never done it before, so we don't know.
We don't know, and but we will find out. But again, I know a lot of people are kind of really taken back by this hire and kind of shocked and wow, like they took this guy and John. Well, it, you know, regardless of what you think, whatever John Lynch's responsibilities are, I know there are people that question that. And well, he has guys in there like Adam Peters. John Lynch has been a heck of a GM. This is a team that turned it around. This is a team that's been to two NFC championships and a Super Bowl in the last 3 years. Like, you know, after a total rebuild of a terrible roster that they were handed. So Lynch did a good job, and hopefully they get the same results from Brian Griese.
And hopefully it doesn't take him as long to learn on the job as it did for John Lynch. And the job that Brian Griese does year one is more like drafting George Kittle in the fifth round than drafting Solomon Thomason and Ruben Foster in the first round, right? So
right.
There was some growing pains, even though John Lynch came out the other side okay. And I think everyone's happy with the job that John Lynch has done with the 49ers. We'll see what it looks like in the Brian Griese era. He's got a young, talented quarterback to work with in Trey Lance. Let's talk combine next. Offensive linemen and running backs, and then we'll start looking at the defensive side of the ball. Just some monsters out there running crazy times. D-line and linebackers as well to finish up today's show. How about Built Bar Puffs? Built Puffs, the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. Churro puffs. There is, you can get a box of mixed puffs, by the way. You can get all three of the puff flavors in one box. Lemon-dipped cheesecake, banana cream pie, coconut marshmallow, churro puffs. There's ruby chocolate puffs as well. Some of the classic flavors that we all know and love, like raspberry cookies and cream, salted caramel, peanut butter, brownie, high in protein, low in calorie, low in sugar. Replace all of your snacks at home, at the office. I know you've all got your secret hiding places. Replace those with Built Bars, and you'll be a lot better off for it, and you will enjoy your treats just as much as you ever did. Go to Built.com. Find all the new flavors that they have at Built.com. All kinds of new flavors, always filtering through there. Use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Thanks for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every single day right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you're following Locked On NFL as well. Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the entire league every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Croc, we talked a lot about the correlation between offensive linemen running well and good offensive linemen in the NFL, even more so than the fast guys, wide receivers and cornerbacks. And we've got some blazing times from those position groups, but it tends to correlate a little bit more even with offensive linemen. And this offensive line group did not disappoint. There were some big dudes running crazy 40 times out there. We had 10 guys running sub 5.0. That's crazy, right? There was a record-setting wide receiver class. All of a sudden, the offensive linemen show up and say, "Hey, don't forget about us. We can blaze too. This is a crazy athletic group."
Yeah, and Trevor Penning, he's up there kind of leading the way with some of that. That was a guy who I was pretty high on, and you could see him, you know, climbing up some boards, and you know, watching him at Northern Iowa, and he's playing against lower level competition, but you see him destroying everyone at the Senior Bowl. I got to see that live, And you see, man, how high can this guy climb? And then you go and you watch his film because you know he's at a smaller school. And it's like, well, he has a game against Iowa State. What does that look like? Well, he dominated those guys as well. And he's like the nastiest of the linemen. Big guy, 6'7", 340-something pounds. I don't have his exact measurements in front of me, but I know pre-combine, that's what he was listed at. Well, he was one of the faster guys in the 40-yard dash. And we talked about how that translates over to the NFL level and means a little bit more than maybe the receivers and defensive backs running. So that was a guy who I'm pretty sure a lot of teams kind of have their eyes on. And if any guy is going to, you know, pan down the NFL, looking at those numbers, I think he might be at the top of that list.
Yeah, and then he goes to the Senior Bowl, and you're like, okay, maybe a day two prospect like this guy's film, and he dominates at the Senior Bowl, and everyone's buzzing about Trevor Penning at the Senior Bowl, and it goes from being like, you know, Northern Iowa's competition in Iowa State to Oklahoma guys and Ohio State pass rushers, and he's doing the same thing, getting these guys all pissed off at him because he's throwing them on the ground. He's ragdolling these dudes at the Senior Bowl. So you love him stepping up when he steps up against higher level talent. Shows up at the combine 6'7", 325 pounds, 34 1/4 inch arms, big 10 plus inch hands. So crosses all the thresholds and checks all the boxes there size wise, and then throws down 4.89 40 yard dash as well. So stock way up for Trevor Penning, and I wouldn't be shocked at this point if he's a, you know, a top 10 guy. And so that's a lot of money made to go from day two area to potentially top half of the first round of the NFL draft. But he's got some competition because some of the other guys we're seeing in mock drafts in the top half of the first round, Ikem Ekwonu and Charles Cross, they also blazed in the 40s, also sub 5.0. Charles Cross out of Mississippi State was 6'5", 305, looking lean and fast, 4.95 40. And then Ikem Ekwonu, 4.93 in the 40-yard dash. And he's built like my colleague Matt Williamson on the Peacock and Williamson show said, he's built like a soda machine. Like, how do your ankles get so wide? You know what I mean? 6'4", 310 pounds, long arms. And dude was flying out there. So pretty impressive group of offensive linemen.
Definitely. And, you know, this is a really deep class. I talked about it, man. There are a lot of people that are kind of down on this class, and they're like, oh, man, it's not as good of a class. And I'm like, well, maybe not at the quarterback position. Like, if you need a quarterback, this is not the class for you. But if you're looking for anything else, especially the offensive tackle is extremely deep there. There will be some day two guards there, edge rushers, running back, I mean, receivers, defensive back, it's deep everywhere. So, including that offensive line, 49ers, they definitely gonna have to take some swings later in this draft at that position. I think 49ers are looking to go an offensive tackle route, not knowing exactly what's gonna go on with Mike McGlinchey. This is a draft for them. They might luck up and have somebody fall to them at 61 or with one of their picks in the third round.
There's a guy that we had talked about, Cole Strange, out of Tennessee Chattanooga, when Javi was on the show, and I've watched some more of him, and I really like him as a prospect. 6'5", 307, and you always worry, okay, you came from Tennessee Chattanooga. What are you going to look like at the Senior Bowl? What are you going to look like at the Combine? Are you going to hang with these other dudes that went to bigger schools and bigger programs? And he absolutely did. 6'5", 307, 33-inch arms. He had a 5.03. 40-yard dash, which is a solid time, but really the impressive time for me with Cole Strange, and I'm seeing him, you know, he was like fifth rounder in mock drafts. I think he's going day two because he's got center guard versatility. And for the 49ers, you know, you get to that 93-102 pick range late in the third round, I could see someone like Cole Strange, and definitely if he's there on day three. But he had a blazing three cone, blazing 20-yard shuttle, which is really important, and he threw down 31 reps of the bench press. So strength, size, looked good at the Senior Bowl. Cole Strange is absolutely a name to watch for the 49ers because I think they do need someone with that interior center versatility in the draft and potentially be the starter of the future after Alex Mack's gone.
Yeah, and very fluid, very fluid. I was watching him go through some of his on-field drills, and I'm like, wow, okay, if his film is anything like what it looks like him moving out here in space and being challenged from that standpoint, he's going to be pretty awesome. So, yeah, give a big shout out to my guy, Javi, for calling that out. And maybe other people are on to Cole Strange. I don't know, but I know because of Javi, I paid attention to him at the combine. I thought he did a tremendous job with some of those movement skills in space being challenged in that way.
I don't think the 49ers are in the early running back market, but Dalvin Cook's brother, James Cook, he can move. And I think he gets lost a little bit in this class because he's not a prototype bell cow guy. Maybe he could slip to the 49ers and be a player I could see Kyle Shanahan really liking. And giving you, I've heard him called upside down Deebo Samuel, which I kind of like because everyone wants the Deebo comps. He's the opposite. He's the guy who's running back most of the time, but then can play a little bit of wide receiver. So between Deebo and Cook, you have 100% wide receiver and 100% running back, but you can mix and match those where you're lining them up.
Yeah, you know, I think his biggest win from the combine is weighing in at 200 pounds. It was like 199 to be exact. But, you know, he was a guy that was listed at like 6 foot or 5'11", 190 pounds at Georgia. He goes to the combine, he weighs in at or measures in at 5'11", 199 pounds. So we'll round that up to 200. I think that was a huge win for him because you knew he had that explosive ability, especially a tremendous ability as a pass catcher. And then he goes and he runs a 4.42, and that's tremendous as well. So he showed all this type of ability, third down pass blocking capability, third down receiver capability, breakaway speed type guy, challenging guys in space, catching the ball. Then he goes and he tests well and he weighs a little bit more than you expect. I thought that was huge for Cook and definitely could be a late day two, maybe early day three type guy. This is a deep class. You have some of these other guys who ran fast. I mean, we're talking about sub 4.4 guys weighing over 215 pounds, which you don't really see that a whole lot. But this was there were a few backs that were big and still running in the 4.3s.
It's crazy that you run a 4.42 and you think that's a pretty awesome time, and there's like eight or nine guys ahead of you, just in your own position group, man. These guys were flying out there. And I think I'd like James Cook more than Kenny Walker as far as today's NFL. Kenny Walker is a better pure running back, but he doesn't give you anything in the passing game, and he blazes a 4.38. I mean, if you're talking about just a pure runner, love Kenny Walker out of Michigan State. Maybe the best back in this class. I think Breece Hall threw down a 4.39 and has something to say about that. Yeah. And I still wouldn't take any of these guys in the first round, but day two area, day three, I wonder where these running backs are going to go. And I wouldn't be super shocked if Kyle Shanahan dipped his toe in the running back waters just because he loves himself some running back.
I would be and I want to take some of these running backs. I'm looking at Jerome Ford right now at Cincinnati. Another guy ran a 4.46 blaze. And I mean, we're talking about someone that's 5'11", 210 pounds. So he has good size, good speed. But I'd be a little upset with Kyle Shanahan if he drafts a guy day two. It's like, haven't you learned your lesson? You took a guy last year, Elijah Mitchell, in the sixth round. That's where you really should be taking running backs. If maybe one of these guys just randomly fail and you want to take a flyer on a guy, then cool. But you just drafted Trey Sermon last year in the third round and traded up for him. You got more production by the guy that you took in the sixth round. You've had a lot of success with guys that were undrafted that probably aren't anyone that we've mentioned so far. Looking at some of these guys on this list, I would be a little upset if he took a guy running back. As much as I like this group, and I look at Breece Hall, and I'm like, man, if he's there at 61, take him. Like, I want to say that. Kenny Walker, take him. But no, Kyle, you can't do that because you haven't had the success and the success you have had with guys that are either drafted later or undrafted. And you've gotten a lot of production out of those guys. So I wouldn't draft a guy. I would probably really focus on bringing back a Raheem Mostert to go with Elijah Mitchell and maybe take a flyer on a guy that ends up going undrafted or maybe seventh round. But don't draft any of these guys high, as much as I like them.
It would have to be like an Elijah Mitchell situation from last year where the guy falls too far where you just have to take him on day three rather than fighting to go up and get a guy on day two like the Niners did last year. And that guy didn't even end up playing for the team. All right, let's move on to the
defense. They hate him.
All front seven linebackers and defensive linemen. Some quick takeaways from that group. We'll get much deeper into the draft class at all of these positions later in the offseason. We'll save Croc's thoughts on the DBs for tomorrow's show from the combine. Football might be over the season, but basketball in full steam, both pro and college hoops. I had fun betting on some combine props. I nailed the over on Rich Eisen's 40, by the way. I knew he was going to run slow this year, and he did. So I made a little cash. Thank you, Rich Eisen, for not being athletic. You can find it not only draft props, but Super Bowl futures. Of course, the college tournament is coming up. Tons of wagering to bet on with college basketball in March. And betonline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Remains the best spot for not only wagering, but sports scores and news as well this season. And it's not just football. It's not just basketball. BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC odds. There is tons of props and even some Vegas casino games as well that you can get in on at BetOnline. Head over to the website or use your mobile device today and find out about the trends and all the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Croc, I know you have some favorites on the D-line, and I would not be shocked if the 49ers go there early again. Is there some names that you like, is some standouts there on the defensive line, whether it's way ahead of where the 49ers are going to draft, or someone that might be looking at a pick 61, because these big guys are moving and it's kind of scary. And when you have a defensive lineman that's, and he's not going to be anywhere near the 49ers, but when you have a guy like Jordan Davis who runs a 4.78 at 340 pounds, that's, and I'm not no hyperbole, that's lethal. If someone was standing at the end of the 40-yard dash and Jordan Davis at that speed runs into you, you possibly would die. That's scary.
And he's shown that ability on film with his pursuit of running backs. That's like that short area, he ends up just getting a guy. And I bet they're looking around like, how the hell did this big-ass dude just snatch me up like this? Like, he's a freak. And that was amazing. But golly, I mean, this pass rush class, last year, I think it was kind of non-existent. Who were the edge rushers in last year's class? I couldn't even name them off the top of my head. I don't remember. But this year, it's as deep as I have ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen a class with this type of front four or pass rusher, even if you count maybe some 3-4 outside backers. I have never in my life seen one this deep. I mean, there are guys. I wouldn't at all be surprised if six D linemen, including the edge rushers, were taken in the first 15 picks. I think they can fly off the board there. I mean, we have guys like Boye Mafe, who you were able to mock to the 49ers in the second round. And I don't know if that's going to be the case now, because Boye, my boy out of Minnesota, I mean, he went and ran a 4.53 at 6'4", 260 pounds, ran a 4.53 coming off. I mean, it was ridiculous. And he showed that ability at the Senior Bowl, whooped guys in pass rush one-on-ones, got into the game early in the game, gets a forced fumble on a sack and strips the quarterback coming off of the edge. So he's had the production there, but he's kind of just getting started now. And I mean, he had a tremendous Senior Bowl, a tremendous combine. He looks the part. I mean, it's going to be tough, you know, looking at all these guys. I think they're going to fly off the board, man, early and often.
Aiden Hutchinson might be the first pick in the draft. He had a 4.74 40, but he had an insane three cone, which is usually the best time. But he explodes. It's really weird. It reminds me of the Bosas, because the Bosas have this weird bursty athletic stiffness, right? And he kind of has that same thing. And Nick Bosa also had shorter arms than you would be ideal for an edge player. And so Aiden Hutchinson has some of that, but he'll be long gone, obviously. Jermaine Johnson, 4.58. Kayvon Thibodeau, 4.58. David Ajabo, 4.55. You mentioned Boye Mafe, 4.53. Trayvon Walker, who's just like the most prototype length, size, height, weight, speed out there from Georgia, 4.51 in the 40 at 270 pounds and 35-inch arms, looking like Chandler Jones out there. And Sam Williams, 4.46. Like, none of these guys are going to be available for the 49ers. Like, Williams and Mafe were the ones that are getting mocked in the day two area. But, man, these guys are so athletic. There's going to be a crazy run on edge guys in this draft.
Yeah, and as it should. I mean, we talked about how deep it was at the offensive line position. They're going to get snatched up right away. I think these guys coming off the edge, they're going to get snatched up right away too. You know, the position I think that might fall a little bit, and we'll talk about this later, probably the cornerback position. There are some guys that will go really high, and then I think there's going to be a little break in between there. And then I think late day two, early day three, there's going to be another run on cornerbacks in that range, just on the value of it. But man, it's exciting, man. It's exciting seeing Boye Mafe, because you know, I don't know, do you remember when I drove to Minnesota to take one of my kids to work out there?
Yeah, and you've been talking about Mafe. We looked at him at the Senior Bowl as well, and he's been your guy for a while now. And
yeah, well, you know, he's my guy because I know him personally. Yeah, you know, so you know, I if you ever want to kind of see like his mindset, kind of what I have some videos on my Instagram from prior to this season where he's, you know, I took a kid out from Monticello, Arkansas, drove him 13 hours to Minnesota, and he got to work with Boye and my boy Io, who's he trains defensive line and everything up there in Minnesota. I thought it'd be good for my Monticello kid to work with him. And Mafe, man, just his mindset, you could see that he was on the right path. But this is a guy who's kind of a late bloomer, because he had a guy in front of him that was getting drafted. He had a couple guys, and it was almost like one of those things where he kind of had to wait his turn. because the guy in front of him at Minnesota was pretty good and he stayed the whole time. And then finally this year he gets his chance and you see him just coming along. And my boy, Io was telling me, he was like, Croc, he's going first round. Croc, he's going first round. He was telling me then, like, he's going to be a first round pick. He's going to be a first round pick. And now all the buzz is Boye Mafe. If he's not first round, he's very high day two. Very high day two.
It's so hard to believe people who are close to a prospect when they say that, right? Because they always say that, and you have a little tunnel vision when it's your guys, and that happens a lot with fans, and maybe 49ers fans in some cases might either overrate players they like on their own team versus the rest of the league, or if there's a guy they don't like on their own team, they hate him and he's garbage. Where actually,
Witherspoon
probably in the middle. Yeah, right. Exactly. So it's I never really trust when someone's too close. Like, I don't trust what guys say about their teammates, because of course they're going to say great things about their teammates. I'm not going to listen to the guy who trains the guy, because first of all, he wants to get paid. And of course he's going to say great things about the guy he just trained. I like to hear those opinions of guys that aren't that close to a player, that don't need to be going out of their way to talking great about a prospect. That's how you really know someone likes a prospect. There's one more name here. And I don't really have many thoughts on the linebacker group, but Myjai Sanders is sort of a combo edge linebackery sort of a player. And he said that the 49ers had been in contact with him. So I wanted to bring him up. Myjai Sanders out of Cincinnati. He showed up at 6'5", but only 228 pounds. Very tweenery with that size profile. 32 5/8-inch arms. So he's not quite what you would want for to say, oh, let's just throw 30 pounds on him and he becomes a full-time edge, right? Even though that's kind of what he is. I would have liked him to be a lot bigger and longer, and then it would look better with his workout numbers, but he doesn't have the type of workout numbers that you say, oh, he's going to be a no-doubt outside linebacker, off-ball linebacker either. So I don't really know what to do with Myjai Sanders. 6'5", 228, 32 5/8-inch arms. He ran a 4.67. Which is solid for an edge guy, but not an edge guy who's only 228 pounds. Good vertical jump, and he didn't run the three cone, so we don't really know what his change of direction looks like.
Didn't do the bench press.
Yeah, maybe very late in the draft, but I'm not blown away by him, but there's been some connection with the Niners, but who knows? Just because the 49ers talk to a prospect doesn't mean they're going to draft him either.
You know, at the Senior Bowl, I'm standing with my guy, Io. You know, I just talked about him raving about Boye Mafe. He also raved about the kid out of Jermaine Johnson from Florida State. He was watching him. He's like, oh man, no, that guy right there. You hear about him kind of creeping up boys.
He's got good evals. He's got good information.
Yeah, he's got good information. But he talked about Myjai Sanders a little bit, and he watched him, and he said he has some good stuff. He said, you know what though, Croc? He is built kind of like, he's very slim, but he said his frame has the potential to really fill out. And I truly understand. I'm looking at him, and he kind of has those narrow hips and just this narrow build. But he was like, nah, his frame that he has, he can add 25 pounds, and you wouldn't even notice, really. He just would fill out more. So there is a little bit more to Myjai Sanders, but I do agree with the fact that, you know, it's like having a cornerback, like, I don't know, Roger McCreary. We'll get into these guys on the next episode, but Roger McCreary, who's slight build. He's about 5'11", 186 pounds. That was his numbers at the Senior Bowl. I don't know what his numbers were at the Combine, but not very big, but then has these sub 30-inch arms. So we're talking about 28.5-inch arm length arms. Not ideal. All right. And then he goes out and runs a 4.55 or whatever his official time ended up being. That ain't great. I think that's what we're seeing with Myjai Sanders, where it's like, dude, you're lacking in the weight department. So that you're supposed to be even faster. And then it's like, well, you don't even have that type of speed and capability. These guys that are 30 pounds heavier than you are running much faster than you. Not even just a little bit faster. I mean, they are running much faster than you. I think that's kind of going to hurt a guy like him and potentially have him go to a 49ers, but be more of a development prospect. Because if you can get him to the point where, and I've watched him play, he has a motor, he can move. He'll give you moves. He does a lot of good things. Maybe he just needs to be a developer a little bit more. There's a lot more in him that they're able to get out of.
Yeah, depending on where they fall, makes more sense later than earlier with some prospects. And you don't take him completely off the board, especially when there's potential for growth there. And maybe he does become a 250-pound edge monster. How about Troy Anderson? We talk a lot about positionless offense. What about positionless defense? Troy Anderson, the fastest of the linebackers. I don't think the 49ers are really in the off-ball linebacker market unless maybe they trade a guy, because it seems like they have too many as it is already, and they've already got some good ones in-house. And you know, Troy Anderson's probably going to go too high, but he has to be a prospect we talk about really quick here to end it. Out of Montana State, 6'3 and a half, 243. And then he blazed a 4.42 in the 40, 36-inch vertical jump, played running back, played linebacker. He plays special teams like a maniac. And actually, his NFL comparison, according to Lance Zierlein of NFL.com, is Mark Zacha, former 49er, who was a really athletic guy and a really good core special teams player. And I think at this point, with the athleticism that Anderson showed, he might not fall to the area which I thought he would have, but really just an oddball prospect that can literally do everything, but maybe doesn't play one position well enough, despite his athleticism, to get drafted that high.
Yeah, and I just watched him run his 40. Looks good. Looks smooth. Obviously, he has the size, but not going to cut it for the 49ers. They like guys that are former safeties. When you look at Fred Warner, Aziz Al-Shaair, Dre Greenlaw, those guys have safety in their background. Troy Anderson played a lot of different positions, but if he didn't play safety, he's off the 49ers radar.
I'm looking at linebackers here. Who's the fit? Maybe Brian Asamoah out of Oklahoma, 6 feet, 226. Chad Muma,
maybe Majay Sanders. I mean, that type of guy, right? That has that. No, he don't have the athleticism. I don't know.
He'd be more of the hybrid edge, not the hybrid safety linebacker. I'm thinking of like the safety linebacker type. This isn't a good group for those, actually. Yeah, I'm not
You got to look at the safeties. Let's see.
Oh, so you're someone that's working out. That'll be our.
I'm looking at. So here we go, right here, right.
Let's tease it. If you're talking about safeties, let's tease some safeties that worked out with the safeties but might be linebackers, because we're out of time today anyway, because that's where the 49ers are going to find their linebackers, right? Those former safeties. They might convert some guys. So let's take a look at the defensive backs. Maybe a player in there that could be a linebacker for the 49ers. Corners, safeties, coming up tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen here on Locked On 49ers. For your second listen, check out Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft. Do we have a mock draft Monday coming, Croc, this week?
We do have a mock draft Monday. After you guys listen to this, make sure you listen to the Locked On NFL Draft. We got the mock draft coming live to you. And it's my mock draft. It's my picks. It's all Croc my mock. Entire first round. So, and I'll try to plug in the 49ers somehow, some way.
Yeah. Okay. Are you going through pick 62? First two rounds? Oh, come on, Croc. You got to go two rounds in your mock draft. I'm doing Peacock and Williamson podcast every day as well, right here on the network with my co-host, Matt Williamson, talking about the entire NFL every day. Croc and I will be back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.